much. I need to make sure everybody has a copy of this book. So men, if you'll come forward, if you have not received a copy of this book, if you would raise your hand and we will make sure you get a copy of this. I'd like for every teenager and above at least to get a copy of this. And if we have extras, I do not mind the children getting a copy of this. It'd be good for the kids to keep this as they grow up and learn a little bit more about the church. That would be good. So as the men make their way up the aisles there, if you need a copy of this book, please, I'd like every individual to get it, not just one per family, one per individual, okay? So take advantage of it. Take a copy of this book. We will be in this book, God willing, for several weeks on Sunday evenings, the good Lord helping me and all of this. On August the 10th, we'll take a break from it because we have a whirlwind coming through here by the name of Dr. Tom Verrill. He'll be with us all day long on August the 10th, so we're encouraged about that, excited about that. But God willing, as the Lord leads, we'll be traveling through this book. Let me explain what this book is about. I was writing this book, if you so to speak. God gave me the idea of doing something for prospective members. In other words, we don't just want people to join this church. We want them to join it knowing what they're getting into, if you understand what I mean to you. They need to understand who we are, what we believe, what we do, how we practice. And let me say this to you. This book is not exhaustive. It's not, everything about Buffalo Ridge is not in this little book here, okay? But this is a good start, if you will. It's an introduction to the church. It will introduce you to some of the major things about this local assembly, about what we're all about here. So I encourage you, this is made where you can just slide it right in your Bible just like that, bring it back with you on Sunday evenings. I'm sure that you'll probably read through this. If you get to read through this and you're like, I wonder what that means, then just come, because I'm going to teach through this whole thing. It'll make sense, I hope, once I preach it to you. You know what I'm saying? So I realize that some of these things may not make sense as you go through it, but by the time we get through it, I hope that it all does make sense. You need to understand what this church believes. Need to understand who we are. What does it mean to be an independent, fundamental Baptist church? What does all that mean? We're not going to get to that tonight, but what does all that mean? You need to be thoroughly convinced in your own heart that this is right, that this is not just something that your daddy taught you or something that Preacher Lashley taught you, which is great because he taught me all of this stuff as well. But this needs to become your own conviction. Ask God to speak to you. Don't live on another man's convictions. Live on your own convictions. But make sure your convictions are Bible-based. Now let's pray together, and I'm going to just kind of read the opening page here, and then we'll get started on page number 2, where I will probably venture from my notes a little bit, okay? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'll bless now as we study your word and what this church stands for. Challenge us now from the pages of this little booklet as it has the scripture all the way through it. Would you deal with us thoroughly? In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to page number 1 there. A little bit different here as far as style, if you understand, because I'm traveling through a book with you. Now, whether you're already a member of Buffalo Ridge, considering membership, or just visiting, it's our desire that you become well acquainted with this local church. This booklet will introduce you to who we are, what we believe, and how we function. It's certainly not an exhaustive look, but just an overview, a summary, an introduction. By the end of this booklet, we trust you will be well informed about Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let me give you our history here, and then we'll start with our outline, page number 2. While the main outline of this booklet deals with the characteristics of Buffalo Ridge, it's certainly appropriate to mention our rich history. Back in the 1700s, George Whitefield was used mightily by God. And through his preaching, many came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Among those reached through his ministry was a man named Shubal Stearns. After receiving the Lord Jesus as his Savior, Shubal Stearns established a church in Sandy Creek, North Carolina. And during his time there, great revival broke out with people being saved and men going out from that place to start more churches. A man by the name of Titus Lane was among those who were reached under the ministry of Shubal Stearns. And after receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, Titus Lane came across the Appalachian Mountains and established Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in 1779. This church has been recognized as the oldest organized church in the state of Tennessee. Even though it has had its share of hard times, Buffalo Ridge remains a fundamental Bible-believing church today. It's obvious that the hand of God was, still is, and hopefully will be upon this church. If you'd like to learn more about the history of the church, you can ask for a copy of the book that our pastor, he's here tonight, Dr. Gene Lashley, has written, entitled Jesus Led Me All the Way. I've read that book. Many of you have already read it. Some of you don't even know it exists. You do now, though, and I encourage you to get a copy of it. It tells you about the rich history of this local assembly. Now, if you'll turn to page 2, let me just make a comment here. Thank God for our history. Thank the Lord for how God Almighty has been working on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church since the late 1700s. We praise God for our rich history. Praise God for how it was established. Praise the Lord for how He led us through hard times. You can read about that in the book that preacher wrote. Thank the Lord for the history that stands here. Thank the Lord for the dear man of God who's pastored this church longer than any of the pastors. He's here in our midst tonight, Dr. Gene Lashley. He's my Moses. I'm proud of him. And I know he doesn't like being talked about, but I'm proud of you, sir. You're like a second daddy to me. You have taught me a lot about what to do, what not to do. And I praise God that you still have an office here. I praise God that your office is right down, I'm talking about just right down the hallway. And anytime you're in there, I can knock on the door. Your door's always open. I can sit down and say, preacher, let me talk to you a minute. Let me ask your opinion on something. And you'll steer thou for, and you are still there for me. I appreciate that. And that's the way it ought to be. You know, hearing Brother Joe Arthur come through and so on, he's so impressed, if you will, with this church and the relationship that you and I have. Because apparently around America, there are young preachers and even older preachers, those who step down, and the young preacher either tries to run him off or the older preacher tries to run the young man off or something like that. Friends, listen, praise God we don't have that here, honestly. I mean, this is the way it ought to be. I mean, he is a hero of mine, and I think it's appropriate every now and then that the church hear me say that. I am not threatened by that man sitting right there at all. I'm not threatened by him at all, and I know in his heart he's not threatened by me. I still tell people, on a funny note, but yet it is still true, the only defense I have against him is I think I can outrun him. But if we ever got into a mix together, and he got his hands on me, I think we know who would win that war. It would not be me, I'll guarantee you. What am I saying to you? Thank God for our history. Amen or not, friends? But let's not just depend on our history. Let's go forward. Let's do more for Jesus Christ. Now, I want to start this with page number 2. This is where the outline starts, with all M's. Now, I may get through the M tonight or I may not. If I keep talking like this, I won't, right? First of all, our message. Our message. You know, one of the first considerations when examining a local church should be its beliefs, its doctrine. What is its message? What do they believe? Now, the following is a brief outline, an overview of some of the major doctrines that this church believes and teaches. Now, this is not all of the doctrines. In our bylaws, which we are currently working on and so on, there's going to be more doctrines within it. So this is not all the doctrines, but these are some of the major doctrines that this church stands for. You need to understand these. First of all, what do we believe about the Word of God? By the way, don't let that phrase just come and go and run off your back like water off a duck's back. The Word of God. God's book. This is why this church exists. This church does not exist for my philosophy. Even though there's a time and a place for me to share with you, here's my philosophy for Sunday school, or here's my philosophy for the bus ministry, whatever. There's a time for that, but that's not what this church is built on. This church is built on the very Word of the living God. Let me show you what we believe about the Word of God. Now, again, this is just summary now. This is just overview. We believe in the verbal. You ever heard? We believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of the Old Testament, New Testament. You may be saying, what do those words mean? Well, verbal means we believe every word is God's word. Plenary means we believe it's complete. And inspiration means it is breathed by God. Let me explain this to you. Now, this is just a simple illustration of how we got the Word of God. Let's say that I gave you a piece of paper tonight, and I gave you a pen, and I said, write this down for me. Don't write anything else but what I say. My name is Jody Jenkins. I'm the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Write it down, every word, exactly like I gave it. Now, who wrote it? You did. But who breathed it? I did. So whose word is it? It's my word. Are you listening to me? God did not sit down with a pen and paper and pen the Word of God. The Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed. God breathed His Word. And He moved these holy men of God to write down exactly what He told them to write down. And we believe that as we hold the Word of God up, that every word was breathed by God. And we believe that it's now complete. You can't add to it, can't take away from it, and that God breathed it in the Old and the New Testaments. We believe they are final in authority and practice for faith and life. We believe they are inerrant in their original writings, infallible and God-breathed, and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and opinions shall be tried. We believe God has preserved the Word for all generations. And we believe the King James Version is the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking language. And it is to be the only version that is used at this church. We only teach from the King James. We only preach from the King James. Because notice the special note here. By the way, let me say this. If folks come here and they have other versions, that's fine. If they're coming to church that way. But if they're ever going to teach, if they're ever going to become a deacon, if they're ever going to preach, ever going to do anything like that, we only use the King James Version Bible here. The reason that we do that, notice the special note here. The special note is the biblical version. There are different versions of the Bible. There's all kinds of versions. But you need to understand this. This is simplified here. The biblical version issue is a textual issue. The world will try to make you think that these other versions are easier English. It's easier understood. Listen to me, friends, that has nothing to do with it. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. The Bible version issue is not an issue of easier English. The Bible version issue is a textual issue. Here's what I mean. The King James Version that I hold in my hands was translated from the Masoretic, I'm talking about the Hebrew Masoretic text in the Old Testament, written in the Hebrew language. It was translated from the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek New Testament Textus Receptus, which we believe to be the inspired Word of the living God. And may I say this to you tonight, if you'd like further information on that, it's available. Preacher Lashley's done so much study on that, and we've got a lot more information. I didn't want to put it in this book. I was simply just introducing people to the church here. I want to know when I preach that I am preaching what God gave. I want to know that when I teach that I am teaching, thus saith the Lord. May I say this to you? If you believe in the preservation of Scripture, the King James Version is the only version that can be the Word of God. Did you hear what I just said? If you believe that God preserves His Word to every generation, and we believe that, amen or not, friends, we believe that God not only inspired the Word, but that He preserved His Word to every generation. That's what the Bible says. The King James, I'm talking about what it was translated from. That text is the only text that was preserved and every generation had it. You understand what I'm saying to you? The Westcott and Hort was hidden for, how many years was it, preacher? Well over 1,000 years. The Westcott Hort text, which most of the other versions are translated from, the NIV, the RSV, let me illustrate it by saying this. I remember being in Bible college, and Mr. Kaiser was teaching on this line here, and he brought in all these Bible versions. This helped me This is really what preacher had been teaching, but when I saw the visual, it helped me. He come in and he put the King James Version on this side. Then he took all these other versions and stacked them up over here. And he said, let me tell you something, classes, there's not many versions. There's two. Because this one is translated from the Receive text, and all these others are translated from the Westcott Hort. And if the Westcott Hort was hidden for over 1,000 years and nobody had it, that to me is God confirming which one is His Word, friends. And I'm telling you that since we believe this, we only use the King James. Let me emphasize it to you again, though. We have new converts coming into this church all the time. God forbid anybody to look over in their lap and see an NIV and correct them. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever talk to them that way. Because, friends, what I just told to you, many Baptists have never heard in their life. Many seasoned Baptists have never heard that. Some of them are using the King James, don't even know why they use it. God forbid that we ever say, that's a bad Bible. We don't allow that Bible. We don't function that way around here, friends. Amen or not. But we need to understand as a church body that we believe and teach that the King James is the preserved Word of God. And we believe that every word in the Bible is God-breathed. And we believe that it is finished, it is completed. There's no more books being added to the Bible. God has written it down in the 66 books of the Bible. The canon of Scripture is now closed. We believe this. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen tonight. This is, by the way, if we don't believe that, let's just shut this book and go home, friends. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 16-17, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things that are written in this book. Psalm 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Here it is. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm glad the Word of God, I have a copy of it in my hands tonight. Hey, ever heard preachers say, I just like to put a little bit of salt and pepper on it and take a bite out of it every now and then. The Word of God's power, quick, sharper than a two-edged sword. And we want to know that we have God's Word here. We don't want something that's been tampered with. We want what God said. And we believe that's what we have in the King James Version. Let this church ever be a church that stands firm on the textual issue that we will not submit to a version that is taking words out here, adding words here, updating this word, changing this word. That's not what God said. God said it the way He meant it, meant what He said. Let's not change it. Let's just preach it the way it is. And I'll tell you something, friends. God blesses His Word. This is message number one, the Word of God. Message number two, the Godhead. We believe there is one and only one living and true God, manifested in the unity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe the Godhead is co-equal in power and glory, co-eternal in being, and executes distinct but harmonious offices in the great work of redemption. Boy, I tell you, my heart's getting blessed just reading that. Honestly. Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's only one God. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Look at 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:14, The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now folks, listen to me. You can't explain that. I can't either. He's God. How are you going to explain three in one, yet one in three? It's like putting a sponge in water. Is the water in a sponge or the sponge in the water? You can't explain it. But the Word of God teaches that there's one God, and he manifests himself in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-eternal, co-equal, co-existent. And all three of them, if you're saved tonight, had a part in your redemption. All three, yet he's one. You say you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. It sounds like it, but I'm really not. This is what the Word of God teaches. We believe the Godhead is composed of one true God manifested in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Third, on page number 4, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe he was perfect God and perfect man, that he is God manifested in the flesh, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We believe he lived a sinless life on earth, that he died on Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood as a satisfactory sacrifice for sinners, and his body was buried and arose the third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We believe he ascended to heaven, was glorified at God's right hand, and is coming again for his own. Can I get an amen right there, friends? I'm telling you, this ought to bless your blessers, what I'm saying. This is what we believe. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Matthew 1:18-23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. John 14:1-3, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Ephesians 4:8-10, Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. We believe that Jesus was God, yet he was man. We believe that Jesus is the one and only perfect sinless sacrifice for our sin, and that there's no other way to heaven and no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the person and work of Christ. By the way, all of these deserve an individual sermon. I know that. Let me give you number 4, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. One reason I'm giving you this book is because I'm preaching through it, just adding a few comments here and there. I hope you're taking notes if you'd like to do that in this book. But then you take it and read it yourself, study it yourself. You have questions, further questions, come see us. Come see us. We believe that the Holy Ghost is a divine person with God the Father and God the Son of the same nature. We believe He was active in creation, that in His relation to the unbelieving world, He restrains the evil one until God's purpose is fulfilled. We believe that He convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that He bears witness to the truth of the gospel in preaching and testimony, that He's the agent in the new birth, that He seals, endues, guides, teaches, witnesses, sanctifies, and helps the believer, and that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, is the evidence of His indwelling rather than the speaking in tongues and other spectacular demonstrations. We do not believe in speaking in tongues here. We believe that when the Word of God was completed, that the speaking in tongues ceased. There was no reason for it to go on. And if you study Bible tongues, you will see that they were languages, that everybody heard in their own tongue, their own language. Mr. Kaiser taught us in this as well. Now, the Bible does speak of an unknown tongue, but all of that we know has ceased when the canon of Scripture was fulfilled. In other words, when God's Word was finished, He's saying, I don't need anything else. My Word is sufficient. You believe that tonight, amen? Then you do not believe in speaking in tongues, because it's a spectacular thing that people put more confidence in that. Have you spoken in tongues lately? Have you spoken in tongues lately? And may I say this to you? Some of those folks are friendly and kind. We're not trying to be unkind. But may I say this to you? The Holy Spirit of God does not emphasize Himself. Amen. And folks who emphasize speaking in tongues, they are emphasizing the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? The Bible says when the Spirit comes, Jesus said when the Spirit comes, He will testify of Me, He says. In other words, the Holy Spirit's job is not to uplift Himself. His job is to uplift Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you tonight that we believe that the Holy Spirit of God, that the evidence of His indwelling is not, do you speak in an unknown tongue, but do you have His joy in your life? Do you have His love in your life? Do you have peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith? All of these evidences of the Spirit-filled life. Mr. Kaiser was talking to us about the tongues as well, about how they were languages and all these kind of things. And he was going through the class and he said, does anybody speak Spanish in here? Okay, I want you to stand over there. Does anybody speak this? Okay, I want you to stand over there. And he said, I want all of you in that language that you know to quote John 3:16. And he said, one, two, three, and all of those who knew that, you know, he had somebody speaking in English loud and had somebody speaking in Spanish in another language. And he said, this is what it was on the day of Pentecost. People heard the Word of God in their own language. But yet the Bible calls it tongue. So don't get confused. Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. Is that what it says? No. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. By the way, that'd be a good prayer list right there, wouldn't it? God, fill me with Your Spirit and help me to have love and joy and peace, etc. Genesis 1, 1-3, talking about how He was active in creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Notice this now, and the Spirit of God, there He is. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. There was light. You know, you ever just stop to think about the things that you don't understand? What does that mean, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters? And God spoke. Well, I remind you in Matthew chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know what that tells me? The one I've been reading about, the one that lives in my heart, the one that gives me peace beyond understanding, the one that has saved me and changed me and comforts me when I'm down and out, one day I'm going to see him. Let that sink in. Try to think about that a while and see how far your mind goes. That someday you're going to see God. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 1:8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. John 1:33, and I knew him not. And he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. John 3:5-6, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In context, we believe the water there is talking about the physical birth, the water birth, when a woman's water breaks. But yet the Word of God, he's dealing with Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, whenever he heard this, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, what do you mean, Lord? Do I have to go back in my mother's womb and come back out again? He said, no, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, if you will. What was he saying? He's saying that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Here's what he's saying. There is no new birth apart from the Spirit of God. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit of God. He is the converter. He converts us. He convicts us. He's God. John 14:16-26. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. By the way, have you ever been reading the Word of God and a verse of Scripture pops off the page? You ever been reading the Word of God or hearing it preached and it convicts you? That's convicting. Man, I need to change that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's part of His work. That's what He does. John 16:7-11. I've already read that. No, I've not. Here it is. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Romans 8:14-26, 27. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Ephesians 1:13-14. I know I'm reading a lot of Scripture, but we need to back up our doctrine with Scripture, friends. We need to back up what we believe with the Bible. Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye have also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Acts 5:30-32. The God of our fathers raises up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Now, let me just paraphrase this. We believe that the Bible is complete. We believe every word is inspired, and we believe it's complete, nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away from, and we believe that God literally spoke His word. And we believe that He preserved His word to every generation. That's why we believe in the King James Version, because according to our study and what we understand, that's the only text, I'm talking about the Hebrew Masoretic and the Greek Textus Receptus, that has been preserved to every generation. Therefore, the King James came from it, so we're going to tie ourselves down to that, because we know every generation has had this, I'm talking about what this book came from, and we believe this is the word of the living God. We're going to preach it, we're going to teach it, we're going to use it. It is what God has used to change this world. Thank God we have a copy of it tonight in our hands. We believe that God has manifested Himself as one God in the person of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who are co-equal, co-existent, friends, who have worked together as one to convert the souls of mankind. We believe that the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is who He claims to be. He is the God-man. Born of the Virgin Mary, sinless sacrifice, was buried 3 days later, rose again. He's the only way to heaven. He has been glorified at the Father's right hand, and He's coming back to this earth to claim His own. Thank God for that and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We believe in the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God, that He was active in creation, that He is actively convicting of sin, that He comforts, He converts, He challenges. And I'm telling you tonight, thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. He is who we need as our invited guest every service at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We want God to show up here. We want God's presence to be felt here. And I'm telling you, let us do everything we can to please Him every day of our life. I was speaking to a visitor who had visited our church. I called him on the phone and I was talking to them yesterday. They have a home church and they had come to see one of their family members get baptized. And since I knew they had a home church, it's another Baptist church, I simply called them, because we don't actively pursue people from another church of a like faith. So I called him and he made this statement. He said, "I just want you to know, I felt God there when I was there." That helped me. That's a blessing, friends. May we all see that this church is not about a man. This church is not about a personality. This church is not about making you happy or me happy. It's really not. This church is about, we serve a God who is the God of the universe, who has manifested Himself in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they have given us their book, and He's told us to open it and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Will you obey? Now, I didn't know how far I was going to get tonight, but the Lord has prompted me to start right here with the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you who we need at Bible school this week. We need... we need the Spirit of God. We need God to breathe on us. And may I say this to you? God desires to see these little boys and girls saved a whole lot more than I do, and a whole lot more than you do. You know what my challenge is to you tonight? Now bring this book back with you now next Sunday night. We're just going to plow through it. You know what my challenge is to you tonight? The Word of God says, it says that the Israelites limited the Holy One of God. The Word of God says that we can quench the Spirit of God. The Word of God says that we can live in such a way that He says, I'm not getting close to that. May I challenge the church, whether you're working or not in Bible school? Do you want God's Spirit to have free reign at Buffalo Ridge? May I speak to you just as your pastor just a moment? Wouldn't you like to see what God would do with a church that He's not limited in? Wouldn't you like to see what God will do if we don't quench His Spirit? Amen, friends. You know how we get that? Look in the mirror. God, is there anything in my life that's hindering you? Is there anything in my life that's telling you, stay away? Stay away. I don't know about you, but there's nothing on planet Earth that is worth holding up a stay away sign in the face of God's Holy Spirit. I would love to see this church get to the point to where these pews cannot hold all the people coming. I'd love to see this church get to the point to where we're having to put chairs out on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, you name it. But God knows my heart. I would rather have the presence of God here and have two people than to have 2,000 and He does not come. You say that's easy to say when you preach to hundreds. I know that. But God also knows my heart. And He knows I'm telling you the truth. Do you want His power? Do you desire His presence? Do you want God to touch down at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Then let's not offend the Holy Spirit. Let's submit to Him. Amen, friends? I want to ask you to bow your head. Just be very quiet. I'm not going to have any playing tonight, Miss Snodgrass. I appreciate it. I feel prompted tonight. No music. But would it not be great for our folks that feel prompted by the Holy Spirit? Now, I want you to do this if God leads you to do this. I'm opening the altar right now. And if you say, Jody, God, the Holy Spirit of God is whispering to my heart, go forward. Get on your knees. Pray. Talk to God. I want you to come right now. Would you do it? Only if God, the Holy Spirit, is leading you to do this. Right now, no music. We're bowed before the Lord. We're asking the Holy Spirit of God to be our invited guest. Whether you're at the altar or whether you're in your seat, I hope that you right now are praying, Lord, show me anything in my life that is limiting the Holy Spirit of God. Show me anything in my life that is hindering you, and help me get rid of it. Help me get rid of it. Our Father, we love You tonight and we thank You for the privilege of bowing in Your presence. And Lord, as we deal through this introduction book and we're just thinking about these different Bible doctrines that we believe and stand on here, would You challenge our church, Your church, to be faithful to Your Word? And if there's anything that we have wrong, anything that's in disobedience to your word, show us and help us to change it. Lord, we have a great week upon us. Hundreds, potentially, of boys and girls will be coming on this property. Holy Spirit of God, dear Heavenly Father, through the access that we have through the one mediator, Jesus Christ, we ask you to do a mighty work. We ask you to divinely remind boys and girls about Bible school. You have a will for who you want to be here. And I pray that to the very number, the will of God is accomplished this week. May not one boy or girl not be here that you desire to be here. And may a Holy Ghost hush come upon these children when the Word of God is being taught and preached. Would you speak to them? Would you draw them to yourself? Would you help them to understand? And may they truly be saved this week. May families be affected because of what happens at Bible school. May the follow-up work be done successfully in your eyes. May men, women, boys, and girls for weeks, months, and maybe even years to come be saved because of the work that the Holy Spirit of God does this week on these grounds at Buffalo Ridge. And Father, I pray that this will ever be a church that stands true to you and your holy word until the trumpet sounds. Father, keep the devil out of here. Lord, I know he's alive and he's doing well today. And I know that he is an accuser of the brethren. He wants to disunify. He wants to come in and disrupt the work of God. Dear God, slam the door in his face. Keep the devil out. Holy Spirit of God, please. Please have free reign at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If I am limiting you in any way, forgive me. Show me where it is. Help me to forsake it. If our members and those visiting here, if right now you're speaking to their heart and they are hindering you, I pray that you help them to get their heart right. God, show us the importance of this. Lord God Almighty, please. Thank you for the privilege to pray. Keep us true to you. Bless this week, I beg of you. Please, keep the buses safe. Bless the teachers, the game workers, those that give the snacks, the preschool workers, the nursery workers, Nathan as he leads this rally time, Brother Gary as he leads the program, Brother John as he leads the buses, Brother Bob as he leads in other things and drives a bus. Be with the counselors. Give them Holy Spirit unction and common sense. May the will of God be done. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Let's keep the devil out, friends. Invite the Lord in. And tonight, as we leave, may our hearts truly be in tune with God Himself. Tonight, I feel the sweet presence of God's blessed Spirit. I don't want to ever lose that. Ever. I'll be honest with you, I know it may sound weird to you, but I feel such a presence with me in this pulpit. I don't want to move. I'm serious. I feel the Lord up here with me tonight. I know He's always with me. But every now and then, it's like He just says, preach on, young man. I'm right here with you. It's almost like He's saying, you're right. Keep it where it needs to be. Amen, friends. Amen. 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 Let's be people of the book, friends. Don't ever be ashamed that we're standing the best we know how where the Bible has told us to stand. And because we need God and we want Him and His presence in our life. Amen, friends. Amen. I hope you're with me on this. Praise the Lord for it. And remind you now, if you have a junior camper going to camp, Brother Bob needs to meet with you. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer, okay? Yes, let me remind all the kids and those that are willing to help. We are going to need to move all of the hymnals and all of these cards out of these front pews all the way back to the back. If you can help us with that, that would help us have a little bit more light work tonight, okay? I'm going to ask our preacher, Preacher Lashley, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the King James Version that's been preached at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church since 1779, Lord, is going to be preached from now till Jesus comes. Lord, we praise you tonight. Praise you for the Word of God. We just couldn't make it without the Word, the written Word and the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt tonight. Lord, keep this church true to the Word of God until the trumpet sounds.
Yes.
Blessed Bible school, we pray, move aboard us this week in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Those of you who brought tents, those who are going to help move hymnals, those who are going to help set up, if you'll come this way before you do anything, and let me give you some instruction, okay? Come this way first, and then we'll get